Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast, the podcast where we discuss all things Bible. I am your host, Mitchell Heitkamp, and with me is my co-host and sister, Michelle Waymire.
Good morning. And just so you all know, that is not recorded. He says that line every time we start this an episode, just so you all know.
And if you pay attention, the last episode, I actually did it wrong.
Oh, I did?
I don't know if you even caught it.
I didn't catch it.
I said sister before co-host.
Oh, nope.
I said, this is my sister and co-host. So I did say it backwards. And I heard it when I said it, but I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done so yet, then we ask that you follow us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review, because it really does help other people find us. And then we also ask that you log on to, like, and follow our Facebook page. So something that I would like to talk about, and by the time this is released, I'm going to be late.
Okay.
But last night, we went out to eat.
Oh.
We went out to eat because it was my mother-in-law's birthday.
Yes, it was.
So happy, by the time this is released, belated birthday to my mother-in-law, Teresa.
Happy birthday, Teresa.
Yeah.
Yay. Where'd you guys go? What'd you do?
We went to Al's.
Oh, yeah.
So
I figured that's probably where you went.
Yeah, it's a bar that's next town over. Yeah, and they got good food.
It's
a good family.
And they've got a nice section that you guys can all sit and be together, where it's away from all of the...
And luckily, they weren't busy, so
okay.
Zeke and Derek and Grayson were there. Kimmy showed up later. She had to work. So Grayson and Zeke were running around throughout the entire bar.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they were having fun.
Oh, I bet.
So, yeah, it was all right. I mean, food was good.
Okay, good. So I noticed that I got messages last night from our brother Matt. He went out and battled the cold to get his groceries last night.
Oh, did he?
He sent me Snapchats. Yeah, you're in that Snapchat group, but I don't know if you ever...
I don't ever look at my Snapchat.
I was going to say, you never respond, but he always sends it. He never sends it directly to me. He always sends it to our group Snapchat, which I think is called Cool Kids. Oh. Cracks me up.
Probably should look in my Snapchat.
He always sends something. I'm always commenting back, and I'm like, I don't even think Mitchell even uses Snapchat. I'm not sure why we have him on this, but it's whatever.
I have the app.
Yeah?
I need to re-download it, because with an iPhone, if you don't use an app for so long, then it automatically removes it.
No, I didn't know that, because mine can stay on there. But mind you, my iPhone is, I think, Olivia's from 4 phones ago, because in our world, the kids get better phones than what the parents do.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about that yet.
I know. We all know. But, hey, Zeke's got a birthday.
He does have a birthday. That's true. He's had a birthday in 2 days.
Eli had his birthday 2 weeks ago. The
15th? Yeah, the 15th.
Yeah, and now it's Zeke's birthday. And Sadie Rose.
Sadie's birthday is tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Yeah. And I'm hoping that she and the family come to church. I got a surprise for them if they do. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Happy birthday to them. Yes. Yeah,
a lot of birthdays.
Yeah, I know. In January.
Yeah.
Weird. It's too cold to have a birthday.
It's not really weird for us.
I know, right? Because there's so many of them.
Yeah. If you do the math backwards, it's right around our anniversary.
Right. I know. I don't need to do the math backwards. But, and speaking about that, we've been talking about Bathsheba and her pregnancy also with David. So, if you do the math backwards, we will find that, it's David's.
Yeah.
Regardless of what he tries, it's David's.
It's David's. So, we'll go ahead and get into this.
Yeah.
And if you listen to last week's episode, we kind of loosely called it a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. But we just want to have cliffhangers, so we called it a cliffhanger.
It was exciting for the first time, but not really the second time. Next time we're just going to say to be continued.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. So today we're going to get into 2 Samuel 11, 6 through 13. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. And it says, "So David sent this word to Joab, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to David, David asked him how Joab was. how the soldiers were and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his master's house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next, at David's invitation. He ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. So there's a lot of information here in that section that I just read. And we're going to go ahead and start from the beginning. So David...
Wait, real quick. So at this point, Bathsheba has come to David and said, "I am pregnant."
Yes.
And then David then tells Joab.
He sends a messenger.
A messenger. Gotcha.
He sends a messenger to Joab.
Okay, because he's out in
war. Yes, Joab is out leading his soldiers. So Joab is...
Is he like equivalent to Uriah?
Or is he... He would be like even over Uriah.
Okay, he's over Uriah. Yeah. Okay.
And if you read the rest of this story of King David, Joab is a rather fierce person, to the point that when David always kept him around. There was some assassinations that occurred at the hand of Joab. Assassinations that David didn't necessarily want to happen, but Joab kind of took it on himself.
So he's a very scary man.
He would be considered a scary man. To the point that when David was on his deathbed, his last words, some of his last words were, "Kill Joab." Because basically you can't trust him. He's dangerous. You can't trust him. Kill him.
Right.
That's basically some of David's final words.
So he sends a messenger to him because he's on the front lines with Uriah.
Yes. So he sends a letter with a messenger. Goes out to where the king's army is, finds Joab, gives Joab this letter. And this letter basically says, "Hey, send me Uriah the Hittite." And
because there might be a Uriah that's a Moabite and a Uriah that's a Canaanite. I mean, they always distinguish them as.
And this is something I was going to bring up a little bit later.
And we don't discuss this. We don't discuss this. And I'm sitting here. I have questions. Like, why do they call him Uriah of the Hittites? So you can get to that. But I didn't know that was part of your notes. So
I'm going to save that. Okay. I'm just going to be here just in a few minutes.
Okay, that's fine. I just find it comical that it always says.
So Job got this message from King David saying, "Send me Uriah." Well, Job doesn't have to look far, because something else you'll see whenever Uriah comes back and, you know, he doesn't go to sleep with Bathsheba, he sleeps outside. Mm-hmm. And when King David asks him, "Why didn't you go home?" And he says, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country." Uriah would have been part of Joab and his men. So this is like the elite forces. Mm. They're probably out. They don't have tents and everything set up because they don't want anybody to know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I might be pulling in some of, like, modern day
military
type stuff. Yeah. But they're going to have the bare minimum stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be sleeping away from the rest of the army. That way, nobody knows where they are.
Right.
Everybody's focused on the main body of the army, because that's going to be the most largest footprint.
Right.
And so they'll be looking at them. And while they're looking at this main body of the army, Joab and these elite soldiers are going to come in from a different direction.
Behind them to wipe them out. Right. Okay.
So, yeah, that's why the Ark and, you know, everybody else are sleeping in tents, because they have a camp where Joab and the other elite soldiers are just sleeping on the ground in tall grass so nobody can see them. So Joab wouldn't have to look far.
Right.
Now this messenger would have to be like, where's Joab? Yeah. anybody? Joab?
Anybody know where, which bush he's hiding behind at this point?
But, now granted, Joab was the leader of the entire army, so he would have to be doing this like back and forth type thing, checking in on the actual army, or at least whoever is in charge of this main body would know where Joab is. Mm-hmm. So they get the letter to Joab, and Joab's just like, hey, Uriah, you need to go back to the king for some reason. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so he sends Uriah back. Well, Uriah gets back, and this is something else that we kind of hinted on at the end of our last episode, was, you know, Uriah's not...
He's not dumb.
Dumb. He... Probably.
Because you have to think, he's got to be able to strategize, and yeah. I mean, he's like you've said, he's elite. So, you know, he needs to know how to strategize and know where to be three steps ahead of him getting there. So, like you said, he's got to be a pretty spot on guy.
And again, this is all happening rather quickly in the Bible, but in real time, it wouldn't have been this quick. I don't know how far away the army was from where King David was, but there's going to be traveling time involved. And okay, so this messenger goes out to get Uriah. Mm-hmm. Well, does this messenger come back with Uriah? Because let's face the facts here. Most of the people, at least the servants around King David, knew what he did.
Yeah.
And they knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. So did this messenger know what was going on? And if your eye is getting pulled out of this war to go back to the palace, I would think you have a lot of questions.
Well, that's what I was going to say also. When you think of anybody having a message come to them during war that says you need to come back, I mean, is my dad okay?
Yeah.
Is my wife okay? You know, why are you taking me from the front lines of this war that I'm fighting for you to come back? What, it has to be something that's, I don't know, a critical matter is what I would be thinking. So, yeah, I mean.
And in today's, I can kind of attest to this, is today's equivalent would be like a Red Cross message.
Yeah, like I.
Because you had to call in a Red Cross message to get me home for Missy whenever she passed. So, but I had, like, I knew
you knew what was going on. So when I made that call to the Red Cross, of course, they had lots of questions for me. But I, you know, I gave them all the information that you told me I had to give them to get you the message. But, you know, but again, when it came to that point between Paige and Mom and Dad, I was like, when do I make this call? And nobody knew. And it's just like, I'm making the call right now.
Yeah.
I'm making the call. So. Yeah.
But. Like for Uriah, like I just said, I knew that you were making that call.
Yes, you did.
And so I was expecting that to come in. But for somebody like Uriah that doesn't have FaceTime and even a phone to make a phone call.
Right.
He's basically getting a Red Cross message out of the blue. He's like, hey, you need to come back to the palace.
Could you imagine to have gotten that like when you were first in your first deployment to get a message like that, because you didn't have this.
No.
You didn't have the way we could contact you on your first deployment like you did your second one.
Yeah.
I could only imagine how different it would have been.
Oh, yeah. To get a Red Cross message there, I mean, you just have to think, what happened?
And you talk about the travel back.
Yeah.
For you not to know, I mean, it was literally, what was it, 24 hours of travel time? I don't even remember what yours was. From the time you got the message.
From coming back, yeah, it was probably about 24 hours. Maybe just a little under. But coming back, it seems a lot shorter. because of the time change.
Yes. And that's the other thing for you. I mean, the time change is, what was it? Was it 8 hours?
8 or 9.
I was thinking it was an 8 or, yeah, I was thinking it was an 8 hour difference from Ohio time to where you were at.
Yeah. So when I came back home, I caught those, I gained those hours. Yeah. So from like the actual hour I left to the hour I got back, really wasn't that long.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I may have been in the air for 12 hours, 11, 12 hours.
But when you landed.
I gained 8 hours of time. Right. So it was only like 3 hour flight.
Right. I know. I can only imagine how crazy that was.
So, yeah.
So, we're looking at this travel time from Uri. Sorry, did I say that right? Uriah. I did not say it right. Anyhow, his travel time back. We don't know where he's at.
No.
So, had no idea of what was going on. Yeah. So, this journey, you could only imagine what was going through his head. Because there's nothing in the message saying why he had to come back. And when he got there, there was really no reason. Yeah. Right?
So, he was probably very suspicious. But at the same time, maybe, you know, if he's coming back to that messenger, maybe he started asking questions like, hey, do you know why I have to go back to
the house? But if the messenger says anything, off with his head, probably, right?
No, I don't think Uriah would.
No, I'm saying the messenger by King David, like from Joab.
If
he'd be like, the messenger said something, off with his head. Well, I don't know. I don't even know.
If they're on the road together, just Uriah and this messenger, Uriah wouldn't have killed him for giving him this message, I wouldn't think. But you also remember, this is David's elite fighting force.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You have this big, powerful guy standing over you like, why am I going back? Give me my information. a little messenger peasant's going to be like, this is why.
Yeah, right, but then he might be like, I cannot tell you. Otherwise, David will have Joab to kill me.
I think Uriah could put in a nonchalant threat there, and I'm pretty sure that messenger would crumble.
Side note, I bet our people listening are cracking up on our storytelling.
Why? I think we're doing a great job.
I'm literally cracking up here just from your expressions with your fake sword fighting.
Get him.
Sorry.
Most people can't hear my clink, 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 clink.
No, but I can see it, and people, it's comical.
So, the reason we're saying all this is because once Uriah gets back to the palace, David's, like we just saying, Uriah doesn't know what's going on. It's very weird that he's being called back.
Yeah.
And he gets back to the palace, and what does David say? David asked Uriah how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going.
So I just brought you back, back to ask you how things are going.
Yeah. Like, hey, how you doing? How's Joab? How's the war? That's great.
Let's eat. Let's have a feast.
Yeah. Then the next thing is go home, wash your feet, sleep with your wife.
Right. Because he wanted him to sleep with his wife. Yes. So that way it looked like it would be his child and not David's child. So, you know, the whole reason for him coming back was to cover up his sin. His sin. Yeah.
He was trying to cover it all up. Trying to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. So he's like, come back. Yeah. Go sleep with your wife.
So, like we said, Uriah's not dumb.
He's not.
So now David's here. It's like,
why didn't you go to your wife?
How's it going? Right. You know, whatever. So Uriah's probably like, something seems off here.
Right.
And if he didn't get his information from the messenger that came back with him, he probably had a sense that something was off.
I'm going to agree.
So Uriah probably had a suspicion going on here. And it could be part of the suspicion, or as the text says, your army, the ark, everything is out in tents. Joab and your elite soldiers are out sleeping.
Right. I'm not going to come back here and sleep in my bed and be warm and cozy while my guys are still fighting a war.
Yes. Especially since this whole situation seems suspicious.
Suspicious, right. Like, I see what you're saying. Like, there's a reason why he wants me to go home.
Yeah.
Is he having me killed? Is he having... What's the reasoning for all of this?
So, his... We watch a lot of Spidey and His Amazing Friends at our house.
Yeah, so I don't get to watch that.
His Spidey senses are going off here.
Right.
So, he's like, something's off. So, he sleeps out with King David's servants at the front door... Or just outside the front door of King David's house.
Which is protecting the palace. Which is protecting the...
Yeah. So, he doesn't go home. He doesn't wash his feet. Mm-hmm. I say that in quotes. Which that means he didn't sleep with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, he sleeps outside. Well, just like we've kind of been hinting at this entire time, is he is now spending the night with all of... the servants of King David. Most of these servants are probably well aware of what's going on with Bathsheba. It's very possible through conversation, somebody just wanting to let Uriah know, like, hey, this is all wrong. I want you to know what's going on. It's very possible that Uriah knew what was going on. I mean, in the end, I mean, it doesn't say this in the text. We're kind of pulling in some speculation here. But because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if Uriah knew or not.
Right.
The same thing's going to happen. This is more about David's sin and David compiling his sin. But remember, it doesn't mention Bathsheba in Matthew 1:6.
Right. It does not.
It mentions Uriah's wife.
Uriah's wife. Mm-hmm.
And like I said in previous episodes, where does that sin lie? The main part of the sin probably lies with Uriah than it does with Bathsheba.
Mm.
That's another reason why I think Bathsheba's kind of innocent in this situation.
Because after it's all said and done.
Yeah, because Matthew doesn't mention Bathsheba by name. He mentions Uriah. So this is more of an attack on Uriah than it is on Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
Or the sin lies more with Uriah than it does with Bathsheba. And it's not Uriah's sin, it's David's sin.
Right.
This is where David commits his sin.
Right.
So, again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if Uriah knew or not, but I find it hard to believe that he didn't have some sort of suspicion.
Right.
And I don't know if that's why he didn't go home, but then there's also as we get into this text, whenever King David finds out that Uriah didn't go home, then Uriah makes the comment about how everybody else is sleeping out in tents, and Joab and the Lord's men are camped out in the open country. And then he says, how could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. Well, there was a code of ethics back then, just like in today's modern army, each branch, job has their own little code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the soldier's ethos and stuff like that. Well, they had the same general concept. And their way of thinking is, just like what Uriah says here, if the army is out fighting, whatever, if you're an able-bodied person,
you should be out there with them.
You should be out there with them. So this is almost like a double jab,
right?
Because he's telling David, I'm an able-bodied person. I should be out there with those guys fighting. I'm not going to come back here. I'm not going to go into the luxury of my house and
could
sleep
you imagine,
with my wife.
Yeah, could you imagine if those soldiers found out that he came back for a week or whatever it is to party R&R. And, while they're out there fighting or someone lost their life? I mean,
yeah,
that's...
So that's the one part of the jab. The other jab is he's kind of in an indirect way saying, King David, you're an able-bodied man.
Right.
You should be out there with your soldiers. You should be out there leading your army.
Right.
You should not be back here in your palace having your own little siesta and doing whatever it is that you're doing here in your palace. So it's kind of like a little double-edged sword there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this because it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing this, And it's also wrong.
Right.
So who's right here and who's not?
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned before, the fact that he is Uriah the Hittite.
Yes.
He is not a natural born Jew. He is not a descendant of Israel. He is kind of like all of us. He's a foreigner,
mm-hmm.
but he's still a member of David's elite fighting force. So what does that tell us? This is kind of hinting a little bit to the future. Is, like I just said, this guy isn't a natural born Israelite, but he is showing more righteousness.
And devotion?
And devotion.
Yeah.
To King David and his army and the Israelite nation.
Yeah.
Than King David,
yes.
who is the leader and a natural born Israelite.
Right. Yes.
So, I mean, that's kind of telling you, that's going way forward to Jesus and the fact that who's the first person that Jesus really, whenever he first became public and started his ministry, first person he goes to was the woman at the well.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a Canaanite woman. So.
Gives me goosebumps.
Yes.
That story gives me goosebumps.
So that's something that's, like you asked earlier about this whole.
Yeah. Is it Uriah thing? Of the Canaanites or the Hittites or the Moabites? I'm just really impressed that I know all of those right now. Just
good job.
So you know.
I'm impressed with you too. Yeah, so like I was just saying, is Uriah, he isn't an Israelite, but he is showing more righteousness than David, who was an Israelite.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next section is David's like, oh man, you know, my plan failed. My initial plan failed. All right.
Oh, his deceitful plan?
His deceitful plan to cover up his sin. He's like, oh man, I wasn't able to cover up my sin that time.
Let's try it again.
Let's try it again. So he goes, okay, plan B. Uriah, stay one more night. Just one more night. Stay tonight, and tomorrow I'll send you away. But tonight, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
So his plan is to get Uriah drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally says right in the text that at David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But then the very next line, but in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home.
Right.
So even though Uriah was drunk and David was...
Again, he was a smart man.
Yes.
He knew that there was a plan because nobody gets drunk during a war while everybody else is fighting.
Yep.
It's just not something you do.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So, again, Uriah, the Hittite, is showing more righteousness than King David. And this plan B of King David's fails.
With a capital F.
Yes. Huge failure. So now King David's like, well, now what? I guess there's only one more thing I could possibly do. And surely it's not confess my sins and try to be a good person. No, let's compound this sin even further. Send Uriah back out to the war with a personal written letter from the king.
To Joab,
saying... Basically,
assassinate him.
Yes.
Unreal.
Assassinate him by the hands of our enemies. Send him to the front lines where the fighting is the worst. Pull back to leave him out front by himself where he can get struck down.
Instead of saying, I have sinned.
I have sinned against you and your wife and God.
Please forgive me.
Yes. I have taken your wife into my bed. I have slept with her. She has become pregnant. Instead, he just tries to cover it all up.
Unreal.
Yes.
It about makes me sick.
It does. If you really start thinking about this, it should turn anybody's stomach.
Yeah, it should. And the reason I get sick is because you know that stuff like that still happens
yes,
in our
does.
World today. And that makes me sick. Unreal.
Yes. This, and flooding my mind right now is a lot of our episodes previously that we have discussed. Big one right now is how Judah's name means to praise God. Mm-hmm. And when you go to war, you should always send Judah first. So in any battle you have in life, you should always send praise to God first. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what David's doing right now. Mm-mm. He is, because if you notice through everything that we've read so far, God is not mentioned.
No.
God is not in the story yet.
He doesn't pray to God and say, help me to make this right. I have sinned against you. I have sinned against them. Help me to make this right.
No, that is not in here at all
yet. No, he says, kill him.
Yes.
Take him back to war and kill him.
Yes.
And make it look like it was the enemy.
Yes. Mm-mm. So this would be a good place to stop for this episode.
Because we're both disgusted.
We are. But when we come back in our next episode, we will cover 2 Samuel 11, 14 through 18. And
which is going to be the death of Uriah.
That is going to be the death of Uriah. Mm-hmm. And that whole interaction with the king. And then we'll get into 2 Samuel 12. And we'll get into the first part of that next week as well. Or in our next episode as well. So, for now, we're going to thank you for joining us for another episode of Pure Faith Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to send us a friendly hello, then you can email us at purefaithpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you like what you hear, if you enjoy the show, if you enjoy the message that we are putting out there for you to listen to, then we ask that you share the show with others so we can all work together in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So other than that, we'll talk to you next time.
Have a blessed day, everyone.